its mind. It's the world as viewed through the lens of an astrophysicist educator, a world now shared with you. Prologue, a memoir of sorts. Happy 60th birthday, NASA. Monday, October 1st, 2018. A Facebook note. Dear NASA, happy birthday. Perhaps you didn't know, but we're the same age. In the first week of October, 1958, you were born of the National Aeronautics and Space Act as a civilian space agency, while I was born of my mother in the East Bronx. So the year-long celebration of our shared 60th anniversary provides me a unique occasion to reflect on our past, present, and future. I was 3 years old when John Glenn first orbited Earth. I was 7 when you lost astronauts Grissom, Chaffee, and White in that tragic fire of their Apollo 1 capsule on the launch pad. I was 10 when you sent Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins to the moon. And I was 14 when you stopped going to the moon altogether. Over that time, I was excited for you and for America. But the vicarious thrill of the journey, so prevalent in the hearts and minds of others, was absent from my emotions. I was obviously too young to be an astronaut, but I also knew that my skin color was much too dark for you to picture me as part of this epic adventure. Not only that, even though you were a civilian agency, your most celebrated astronauts were military pilots, at a time when war was becoming less and less popular. During the 1960s, the civil rights movement was more real to me than it surely was to you. In fact, it took a directive from Vice President Johnson in 1963 to force you to hire black engineers at your prestigious Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. I found the correspondence in your archives. Do you remember? James Webb, then head of NASA, wrote to German rocket pioneer Wernher von Braun, who headed the center and who was the chief engineer of the entire manned program. The letter boldly and bluntly directs von Braun to address the lack of equal employment opportunities for Negroes in the region, and to collaborate with the area colleges Alabama A&M and Tuskegee Institute to identify, train, and recruit qualified Negro engineers into the NASA Huntsville family. In 1964, you and I had not yet turned 6 when I saw picketers outside the newly built apartment complex of our choice in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. They were protesting to prevent Negro families, mine included, from moving there. I'm glad their efforts failed. These buildings were called, perhaps prophetically, the Skyview Apartments, on whose roof, 22 stories over the Bronx, I would later train my telescope on the universe. My father was active in the civil rights movement, working under New York City's Mayor Lindsay to create job opportunities for youth in the ghetto, as the inner city was called back then. Year after year, the forces operating against this effort were huge. Poor schools, bad teachers, meager resources, abject racism, and assassinated leaders. So, while you were celebrating your monthly advances in space exploration, from Mercury to Gemini to Apollo, I was watching America do all it could to marginalize who I was and what I wanted to become in life. I looked to you for guidance, for a vision statement that I could adopt that would fuel my ambitions. But you weren't there for me. Of course, I shouldn't blame you for society's woes. Your conduct was a symptom of America's habits, not a cause. I knew this. But you should nonetheless know that among my colleagues, I am the rare few in my generation who became an astrophysicist in spite of your achievements in space, rather than because of them. For my inspiration, I instead turned to libraries, remaindered books on the cosmos from bookstores, my rooftop telescope, and the Hayden Planetarium. After some fits and starts through my years in school, where my ambitions seemed at times to be the path of most resistance through an unwelcoming society, I became a professional scientist. I became an astrophysicist. Over the decades that followed, you've come a long way. Whoever does not yet recognize the value of this adventure to our nation's future soon will, as the rest of the developed and developing world passes us by in every measure of technology.